Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A main, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A main, no rain.
And now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I am your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as well. He's back now. He wasn't here last week, but he is back. In action, JD by God Oliva. How you doing, JD? JD, are you there?
I'm right. Hello? Weren't we just talking before the show?
Yeah, you're good now. We had a glitch in the show, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Sorry about that. I was like, what the hell? We were just talking. No, I was about to say, I guess I'm all right. I don't know, man. I'm gonna spend Thanksgiving by myself this year, so I'm not thrilled about that. So I'm just kind of, you know.
Can you afford a round trip ticket to Honolulu? Because you're welcome here, buddy.
I would appreciate that, and I would take you up on it. But the problem is, I got wrestling on Wednesday, and I got wrestling on Friday, and my family's going to visit my in-laws up in Wisconsin, and I got teacher conferences Monday and Tuesday. So I'm just, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to go anywhere, and they'll be back Friday. Like, they're just gonna be gone for a week. It's just it kind of sucks to when your extended family doesn't give a shit about you in a year when you lost your parent and stuff like that. So it just is a bitter. Sorry, man. I'm just going through some stuff tonight. And I was
I feel you, man. No. It gets, believe it or not, there is a downside to living to Hawaii.
Outside your immediate family, you don't really have those ties to anybody. So I mean,
well, when you're in the military, people come and go out of your life like all mm-hmm. the time. And mm-hmm. so this year it's just like us here. Like, our neighbor invited us over, but we never really they're really cool. They're really sweet people, but we have not even talked to them in a long time. So I think we're going to go pop in, but for the most part, it's just going to be me, the wife, and the kids, and then that's going to be it. Because it's like, you would think it wouldn't be difficult to twist somebody's arm to come to Hawaii and stay at your house, but it turns out it has been quite difficult. If fucking Dave Meltzer's here, and he won't even call me. Well, he doesn't know me, but So I totally get where you're coming from. I feel you.
It's expensive, man. I'd be in Hawaii tomorrow if I could afford a plane ticket out there immediately.
Yeah, but since we last talked, the audience, if you guys were able to catch the show last week, we didn't go on Thursday. JD couldn't go. Last minute work thing. So we pushed to Friday night. JD couldn't come in on Friday night, pre-engagement. So I brought in Cousin Joe and Peppermint Fatty himself, James McDaniel, from the Reels Network. He's a big-time guy. Well, he tells me he's not, but I think I'm going to start a conspiracy that he's, like, running that company. But he was on the show, and we actually – it was pretty fun to go live after that shit show that was Tyson versus Jake Paul.
It'll work.
Yeah, total – what a sham of a fight. But it was actually really fun to watch that and then go live, because I have not done, like, a boxing recap show in a long time. So that was really cool. We also got a chance to talk about the Hall of Fame. You and I have not even talked about it yet. So I think I wanted to save the victory laps until you got back. So JD, shall we take our victory lap on Paul Orndorff? Cause I'm pretty sure we got him over the edge there.
I want to dude. We both advocated very hard for Paul Orndorff, as did our brethren here at the Voices of Wrestling Network. Yeah. Everyone here is very, very much pushed the Mr. Wonderful agenda, and we did it, man. Paul Orndorff is a member of the Hall of Fame. You know what we literally pushed over the edge though?
Mr. Bobby Davis.
Yeah. Bobby Davis got in by one vote, and here's one and two right here. So literally, if Mike and I don't have our ballots this year, Bobby Davis is not in the Hall of Fame. The original manager, like the guy who really created the role of the professional wrestling manager as we know it, would not be in if it weren't for the two of us. I'm really proud of that one in particular.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we were able to get something accomplished in our first year on the ballot.
Yeah,
you know, look, we don't have a large platform, but we get decent numbers on the Voices of Wrestling Network, mm-hmm. and so we were advocating for them, and then and sure enough, our votes one and two, like your vote tied him. I pushed him over the edge. I'm trying to take complete credit for him winning, but.
Well, I'm going to take credit for him winning because I was literally the last person to submit my ballot.
So okay, that's true.
My vote put it over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no.
I did. So
yeah. I actually put mine in like way ahead of you.
Way ahead of me.
Yeah. So that is cool. I'm really happy about that. Joe James, too many fucking J letters on my show, by the way. And then JD's not there. And then I got James and Joe on my damn show. And that also rhymed. But anyway, I talked about the Hall of Fame. I talked about the Hall of Fame results with those guys, and they're not voters, but they had some really cool opinions. So if you guys get an opportunity, go check it out. I actually clipped that whole segment and put it up on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please hit the like button. Make sure you comment. Make sure you're a subscriber to the patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. We've got all kinds of content. JD dropped some new content this week on Patreon.
I did. First of all, you pushed me to Johnny Rougeau. I wasn't going to vote for Johnny Rougeau, and I did because of our conversation the week the ballots were due. So I'm really happy that I could have contributing, because that's what's cool about talking about the Hall of Fame, right? Is you can sell your ideas one way or the other. So I had no interest in voting for Johnny Rougeau. Mike sold me on it, and he got in, so I was happy to participate in that. So yeah, I put a vote thing on the Patreon this week. I'm back on reading comics every week. Absolute Batman and Superman are fantastic books. They're basically DC's kind of rebooting their universal side over here, right? It's a darker universe, right? That if you're into the continuity, it's because Darkseid's influence is everything. But you don't have to know that to read these books. But like, they're good. They're good books. And I really just, I'm at lunch last week and I sat down and knocked out a video. It took like 6 days to post for some reason. Get all school Wi-Fi. But yeah, man, I had a good time doing that. I'm gonna keep doing that because people reacted pretty well. My boy DJ Convoy was digging on it, so that's all I need.
Yeah, I think we do have some comic book fans in the Patreon community, and I think we do on our YouTube channel too. So maybe we'll try to do some more of that content going forward. If the people want it, we'll try to give it to them.
It's easy. It's fun to do. It's fun to talk about. I'm not doing superhero speak anymore, so I haven't talked about comics in a long time. So it was actually fun just to nerd out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. I'm really glad that you were able to do that. But thanks, man, it's half your network. You can do whatever you want. So JD texted me earlier today, and he's like, "Hey, man, what are we talking about?" And I'm like, "Man, pro wrestling is kind of not all that interesting right now. There's there's just so many other things in the world that's just like kind of has captured my attention." But I have watched Dynamite a couple weeks in a row. So I'm pretty well caught up on Dynamite. I did watch it this week. And one of the stories that broke, earlier this week, it comes to us from one Brian Alvarez. He's saying, AEW is planning to hold tapings at smaller venues. Here's the report. AEW planning to hold future tapings of Dynamite and Collision at smaller venues, according to a report from Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live. The promotion has yet to make a change, though, due to logistical issues. So this makes sense. I think a lot of us have been advocating for them to do this already, but they spent so much money on equipment that they just haven't been able to do it. And Brian kind of breaks it down. He says, I'm going to be kind of vague, but it's happening. I just don't know all the technical details. I've been told that there is headway being made in running smaller buildings. Now you hear that and think, why does headway need to be made? Just book smaller buildings. Well, apparently there actually was a logistical reason why they were running a lot of larger buildings, and it had to do with the set in particular, the lighting rig. And there was something that they had in their set that was basically too large and heavy to get into smaller buildings. And so they've been working on retooling it so they can actually get their set into smaller buildings. I think that was a great explanation by Brian. It's not something that I've ever even thought of. I'm like, oh, you know, their screen just way too big, or whatever it is way too big. Their rig is too big. They can't get it into these, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 seat arenas. But I'm glad that they're moving to the smaller venues, because I think it's going to create a better atmosphere, because they're running these big buildings and they're just so cold right now. They can't get people into the building. But I'm also sad because they're so cold right now. They can't get people into the building.
I see this as an opportunity, because I watched Dynamite last night. A lot of hits and misses. You know, there's still way too much WWE influence on the show. I've missed it for the last like 2 weeks, not because I hate wrestling. I do kind of hate wrestling right now, but just because of amateur wrestling stuff. Like, I got kids wrestling practice on Wednesday. Like, my Wednesdays, I'm up at 5, go to the gym, got a full day of school, got the high school practice, and then I got the little kids practice. So I'm not getting home till like 9, and I'm freaking tired. Like, it's hard. Like, yeah. So I made sure to buckle down and watch it last night, and anything not Moxley tangential or Swerve tangential is a little hard to watch right now.
Oh yeah.
But I think this is a good move. This is when they launched the company, they were hitting up a lot of college towns, right? And they ran the college venues, and they had these really hot atmospheres. And then they got bigger, and that kind of, you know, the punk effect on it, right? And they brought in Mike Mansoury, who has this WWE brain, and he wants this, you know, it's easier to run these big arenas, but it creates this like desolate atmosphere. And if you watch the summer shows in Austin that they did at the E-game arena,
Arlington,
Austin, it's Texas, yeah. Who cares?
Shout out Junkyard Akiyama, who is most definitely going to DM me after this show.
Oh yeah, and like those shows were cool, tight. Like, I think they have to do this now. They're not drawing anything. Well, yeah, you're right, they aren't. But this is what WCW did. Watch those early Nitros, right? The first Nitros at the Mall of America. It's. Do you think that if they could have sold out whatever the Target, I forget what the Target Center was called in the mid '90s, the equivalent. Do you think if they could have sold that out, they would have ran it there instead of the Mall of America, where they didn't charge anything to watch the show, right? Watch those early Nitros, the Club La Vila, like all these, they ran all these like cool small venues, and it gave it a cool vibe to it. And when the show got hot, then all of a sudden they're selling out the Georgia Dome. Like right now, the show isn't that great. Like the Moxley stuff is really good, but the rest of it's bad because there's too many WWE brain people in there still. And they're working on it. Hopefully when the C2 starts, it's going to get better again. But I mean, they still need work. So I think doing this is one of the best things they could do right now. Like, let's get these hot atmospheres and let's get stuff a little bit more intimate. Let's run the Hammerstein. Like, let's do some cool, unique stuff that doesn't look like you're trying to mirror WWE.
I'm glad you said that the run the Hammerstein or Manhattan
Hammerstein.
Whatever people call it. I got this DM from King of the North. He wants to submit this for bad tweets. I'm going to pull it up right now. This comes to us from at TJ McLoon.
I don't know who that is.
This motherfucker is a loon. So Brett Lauderdale says, now that our back is against the wall, we're up against it now. I love a good challenge. I love it when people count us out. And he's talking about going, because Game Changer Wrestling is going to the Hammerstein January 19th. And then this guy, McLoon, says, it won't be surprising when GCW outsells AEW at Hammerstein, because Brett is a better booker and storyteller than Tony, and it's a better show to go to.
Get the fuck out of here.
So that was this week's submission for bad tweets. Oh, King, you're in. Did I make it in time? Good. Yeah, I just did it. Yeah. I like that they're running the Hammerstein. I feel like three nights in a row is going to be a little bit tough, though, because they're going to do Collision, they're going to do a final battle and then they're going to do Dynamite. I think that might be a little bit tough, but if they load it up, I think they'll do well. And then as far as GCW, will they outsell AEW? The answer is it depends on if Tony Khan lets his talent run work there, because that's the reason why they filled the place up in the beginning, because they were able to book John Moxley. And I think they also had, I think they might have had Kingston on that card too that they did a couple years ago. But they had some AEW talent on that show.
You never notice that nobody talks about GCW anymore. A couple years ago, they were like the hottest indie. Now they're kind of not, because they kind of exposed, yeah. Right? They ran Cork and it was a disaster. They ran a couple shows. They ran the Manhattan Center, or the Hammerstein show.
Hammerstein, yeah, they ran the Hammerstein. I think they had some people in there, but it didn't look good on TV. Like, no, it looked really bad.
GCW fucking sucks. So yeah. I'm sure I'll get a DM from that. But I mean, like, who cares? Like, I mean, and they have their loyal fan base, right? They have the people that will sit there and tell you that Nick Gage is awesome and the man can barely walk.
Nick Gage doesn't work there anymore. Nick Gage left the company.
Probably because he cares.
Yeah.
Who is the champion in GCW right now? They're not as relevant as they were a few years back.
I couldn't tell you. So they were here in Hawaii a couple weeks ago, and I didn't go because the main event was Speedball versus Effie, and I'm like, I'm not going to go watch that. And I wanted to go see Speedball, and I still like Matt Cardona. You guys can make fun of me all you want. I like him. I think he's entertaining. And he was on the card, and I'm like, and I don't even remember who he was booked against, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go watch that.
So yeah, you had a real professional wrestling show on the island and you said no.
Yeah. Yeah. Now look, if we didn't just have a baby and I wasn't going to leave my wife in a bind, you know, we could have like planned it out, negotiated, you know, and maybe got some help. But I was like, I'm not going to like put my family in a bind for 3 hours to go to, you know, to drive, even though it's 20 minutes away. I'm not going to go do that. So,
yeah, I don't blame you.
This is pretty funny. Everything Pro Wrestling brings this up. Effie being upset on AEW running the venue was weird. I get why he's frustrated, because it's going to take a little bit of steam away from their company, but it's all fair. Like, not like how was, like, I'm sure AEW had this planned. They're not doing anything to sabotage GCW. They've always let their stars work on GCW. So there's not anything nefarious going on here. So I don't really, but I get why he would be frustrated, because everybody's going to be exposed to those three shows. They're not going to want anything to do with this GCW show.
They want to do the last time. That's on there. There's a problem with it, with GCW running the Hammerstein. GCW has to look at GCW, because the last time they ran the show was shit. So, you know, Brett's genius of him sold. So, you know, Brett can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I really do like them running smaller venues, and it was pretty interesting to have James on the show last week and Joe on the show, because Joe, like my family, like Joe's brother and Joe specifically too, they're in the concert business. Joe's worked a lot of concerts. His brother's promoted a lot of concerts, and it costs a lot of money to book out those venues. And when there's nobody going to them, right, and you're only booking it because you have these large scale equipment, you got to be losing your ass on just the event itself. You have like a specific budget. Yeah, you have the specific budget for the event. You're going in and you're getting in the negative. Now TV rights will negate all of that. But still, if you can get the same ratings but in a smaller venue, what, and to spend less money on your live event, why wouldn't you do that? I think it's a win-win for the company. And if they end up getting hot again, they could always go back to the bigger venues. But
for sure,
right now the demand just isn't there. There is no demand for it.
And like WCW teaches us that just because you're cold now doesn't mean you'll stay cold forever. WWE was struggling in 2017, 2018, 2019, right? Yeah. And then they got hot. They all take much to get hot again. You just got to get something going good and stop listening to the wrong people. You know what Tony's got to do is stop listening to Twitter. I saw a really good pod. I've been avoiding Twitter. I opened a Blue Sky account. It seemed nice, but I can't get Blue Sky to open on my phone. So I don't know what's up with that.
Blue Sky is great. It doesn't work, but it's great.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. People, oh, it's amazing. This amazing site. Okay, I can't open it. Whatever. But I was on Twitter yesterday, and someone's like, had a but like people for years, not pushing stories and not doing vignettes. Now, and people were bitching. And so goes, and I forget who posted this. Listen to Twitter, right? Judging a show based on a Twitter reaction, anything. We see this in politics. We see this in everything. Don't listen to Twitter. It's a microcosm. Yeah. Don't do it, Michael.
Twitter can have a real effect on things, but the problem with Twitter is that your algorithm like kind of creates this echo chamber for you, right? And so like you're kind of seeing what you want to see a lot of times. So it's just it really is super weird. I think that he needs to listen to the right people, know who those people are. I don't know. I have like one person in mind that he should probably listen to, but
we've talked about that numerous times, but he won't listen to that one voice because I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to get myself in trouble.
Don't get us in trouble anymore.
I stopped. I caught myself.
Here's a good point. King of the North says, I'm really curious to see what Max does to their ticket buying audience with the direction cable is going in. That's a cool study to look at.
Good call.
I agree. I think that Max will be able to, will expand the audience. I happen to be a Max subscriber now. Unfortunately, my wife's cousin canceled her subscription, so I didn't have one for a full year. And I was offered a student discount. So I'm like, okay, it's $4.99. I'm going to go ahead and get it again. So now I have a new account. Dude, I'm showing my kid Looney Tunes.
Important.
Now, it's really fun. There's no educational value because it's usually just chasing and hitting people or animals. But she like loves, you know, slapstick comedy. She absolutely loves it. But the older ones, dude, we were watching this one. And Tweety Bird was outside and Sylvester the cat was inside. And it's like winter. And then him and another cat escaped their apartments that they're living in. And they both went to go eat Tweety Bird. And Tweety Bird runs and they're both chasing and they're fighting each other, trying to get at Tweety Bird. Right. So then they get to a pipe. There's this long pipe. Right. And there's like a little exit out in the center. And the one cat that's not Sylvester's on one end. And Sylvester comes on the other end, grabs a shotgun, shoots into the pipe. It goes through the cat's mouth and out his butt. And I'm like, I don't know that my daughter should watch this, but she was laughing so hard. I couldn't stop it. But thankfully in 2020, they created new ones that aren't as like super crazy. Like Elmer Fudd doesn't have a gun in that one.
So, I have thoughts on this. First of all, I'm glad you're educating your daughter, right? Because I think Looney Tunes are important. I disagree. They're not educational. I learned so much vocabulary. I learned so much about history and music, like classical music, from watching Looney Tunes growing up.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff you could take from that. Like there's a lot.
I know, but Bluey has like real like life lessons. You know what I mean?
I mean, like that's what we had Sesame Street.
And Paw Patrol is really good about teamwork and other life lessons. Looney Tunes is like, you know, Daffy Duck getting angry and like trying to kill somebody.
It's true. But there's a lot you can learn from that. I'm not saying it's educational, but I'm saying it's not all for naught. And like, you know, and those things have aged really well too. Like a lot of those cartoons are 70, 80 years old and are still freaking funny. So,
yeah,
you know, kudos to them on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, good.
No, you go ahead.
No, I say I do think we talked about how I truly believe that Peacock was a big reason for the WWE turnaround and just having that outreach to more people. I think that can help AEW too. They just got to get hot and stop being WWE light.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree. You know, it feels like right now they're just kind of throwing some shit at the wall and hoping that some of it sticks. And sometimes it's good. And then they pick stuff up and then they drop it really quick. And, you know, you got people kind of turning out of the blue. Last night's show I didn't think was any good. I loved the opening match. But that was like, and I liked Ishii stalking Jericho. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. I thought Claudio and Darby was fantastic.
Yeah, I like that. And then unfortunately, I got YouTube TV, so the main event cut off. So like, I don't want to be Brian Alvarez right now, complain about it, but like, that's just what happened. So, so to this, I get the feeling Orange, they're just setting up the match. And I'll be honest, I'm not interested in Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. I'm sure Orange will kick out of some stuff, and he'll do it. He'll keep kicking out of things until he doesn't. And Mox will win, but I don't know.
I like Orange Cassidy. I just don't see this as a main event level program, which, you know, I'm okay with because I think we need to keep building Moxley as champ for a while. But at the same time, it's very much has like an NWO sold out.
Yes.
You know, feels like a B pay-per-view kind of.
It really does. And, you know, coming off the heels of last year's Full Gear, I do question how well this will do. But since we're talking about Full Gear, let's go ahead and just get into that card. And then I want to talk about some interesting comments that John Moxley has been making lately, because that brother, he's very interesting on TV. He's much more interesting on podcasts right now. He's
doing sure it. Is.
Yeah, he sure is. So let's go through the Full Gear card. So the first match is somebody named Big Boom AJ, I don't know, versus QT Marshall. Who gives a shit?
This can't be on the pay-per-view, actually.
It's on the pre-show. Unfortunately, they were on the actual show last night.
Oh, I saw. I don't know who the hell these people are. Are we that old?
I don't know. What?
Are we that old that we don't know who these guys are?
I don't know why he's famous.
Yeah, I don't know who these. Can someone in the chat tell us who the fuck these dudes are and why I should give a
crap? I just know like he's got one guy that's this one guy, and then I think he's like Hasbulla's dad. So I don't know.
I guess the Costco guys. I mean,
the Costco guys. Yeah. The draw is the Costco guys.
The Rizzler. Right. What is Rizzler. That?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. All I know is that, you know, AEW is trying to book celebrities, so they get these guys. I guess they do Costco stuff. And the opening Raw on Netflix is going to be hosted by Travis Scott. I think there's a disparity here between the two companies.
So, if that don't tell you everything, I don't know what else does.
Yeah. But I don't know why they're famous. I don't know what they do. They're not important people. They're beneath me, and I don't want to talk about them. Fuck them. MJF versus Roderick Strong. I don't want them on my wrestling. Just get them away from me.
I agree.
They suck.
I want professional wrestlers doing professional wrestling. Is that so much to ask for?
Yeah. Like, if you're a musician, come on in, do a skit and play some tunes. But for the most part, I just want to see wrestling. So anyway, MJF versus Roderick Strong. They were building up towards an Adam Cole match. that was the match they were building. Roderick Strong cut probably the worst promo I've ever heard in my life. He's trying to tell this emotional story. He was trying to tell this emotional story about his mom shooting his dad, but it was just so monotone and emotionless. And he had just got done yelling Max into the camera. I just can't take the guy seriously. I don't care about him. He's going to hit some backbreakers and MJF's going to win.
Adam Cole is so, is this the least over Adam Cole has ever been in his whole career?
When next time Adam Cole comes out to an arena and he goes, who wants to hear story time with Adam Cole? I just want everybody to say, no, we don't want to hear your stories, Adam.
I can't believe how hot. I remember when he debuted, right? We were there. I was there at All Out in 2021, and people, it was a great show. That's like one of AEW's best shows ever. And man, you heard that it's all about the boom for the first time. We saw Adam Cole, people lost their shit. And 3 years later, he's just so flat. And again, not all of it is his fault. He keeps getting hurt. This whole thing is weird. I just want it to go away. I just want it to be done. It's just
if he would have did something fresh instead of rehashing the MJF feud, it might not be so bad. But he kind of looked like he came back a little bit early and wasn't ready to go. I'm not talking about his ankle, but I'm talking like physically. Yeah. Just didn't seem like he was in the shape that he was when he was left. And I know that it's difficult. Brother could have hit some bicep curls, maybe some preacher curls or something. And I know people were online, like, kind of like shaming the guy, saying mean things to him. But I don't think it's out of school to say maybe do some cable flies and bicep curls.
I'm sorry. It's professional wrestling. Like, looking the part is part of the job. Like, if you're Darby Allin, then you look like Darby Allin.
Right.
Right. But I mean, like, Adam Cole should be looking a little bit better, and that spray tan's looking a little orange. Like, he just. It seems like he hasn't found himself yet, and I feel for the guy, but it doesn't.
Look at the comment.
No, I missed it.
Who wants to see jaundice time with Adam Cole?
Transfer heat. That's the best. That might be the best comment we've ever gotten.
Yeah, he popped me good.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But blocking the view, so I missed that. No, he just seems like he hasn't like quite recovered from the injury and the personal life stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's not there right now. And I feel for the guy, but you know, Roddy Max should be a good match.
Yeah, it'll be a good match. I just don't care about it.
I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah. Jay White versus Hangman. Okay, now I'm into this match. I still like Jay White. I might be the only guy that still does, but I don't want he look. He doesn't need to be the champion, but I liked their last match that they had, and I think this match will be good. I hope, but I hope Hangman gets the dub here.
I hear people go, Jay White should be in the world title picture, no. And I'm like, did you not watch New Japan? Have you not watched the last 2 years in this company? The guy doesn't. I don't know. Like he looks good. He cuts a decent promo, but it just. I felt like this for years on Jay White. Yeah. Like his IWGP title
you've been pretty consistent on him. I happen to like him, you know. And then was it last year that he did the MJF match at Full Gear in the main event, and nobody bought it. Like mm-hmm. I mean, nobody. What I mean by nobody bought it, like no, it was again kind of another flat main event. Like nobody mm-hmm. thought that he was a threat to the world title.
Yeah, Full Gear kind of sucks. The last couple have been great. Yeah.
Last year was the one where Maximania went running wild, where he did the
I made a great graphic for that. I remember I was doing that during parent-teacher conferences. I was whipping up our Maximania graphic.
Yeah, the BOGO Max era. Who could ever forget?
BOGO Max. Was that a Mike Gilbert original, BOGO Max, or did we steal that from somebody?
That was a JD original. I stole that from you.
That was me?
Yeah, that was you.
No wonder I liked it so much.
Yeah. Next week. Who do you got winning them? I think Hangman's going to win. Who do you got?
Yeah, probably Hangman.
Yeah. Private Party versus the Outrunners versus Kings of the Black Throne versus the Acclaimed.
Who gives a fuck? I mean, if it's not like a four-way, I'm already out. The Private Party is the champions. It was so out of left field. Like they're still not over. Like, I get Pepperman likes them, but you know,
they're just guys that never really reached their potential and they still haven't. They just decided to put the titles on them, hoping that the titles will get them to reach their potential.
That's what you do in WWE with tag teams. That's what they did for decades. And that's where she learned it. So, you know,
yeah. Yeah. Don't bring those ideas to AEW. Keep them in New York.
If they don't eat a black mass kick from Aleister Black, because you know he ain't getting pinned, like this, there's a big problem. Like the only team that's slightly over is Kings of the Black Throne.
Yeah, I feel you. I think you know it's a bit early to take the belts off Private Party, but
no, it's not.
I just don't think they're over.
They suck. I mean, okay, that's harsh. Yeah. That's harsh. They don't suck, but they're not like this used to be like a tag team company. Like this used to be a company that was driven on tag team wrestling. And this is the champions right now. And we have a four way. Nothing says it was like a four way.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I feel you. Mercedes Moné defends against a brand new babyface who just turned babyface for this match, Chris Statlander. Just like out of nowhere, dumps Stokely Hathaway. I don't know where the hell he is. She was this vicious heel feuding with one of the top two baby faces in Willow Nightingale. Yeah. And then that feud ends. They act like it never happened. She just shows up as a babyface one day. And she's facing Mercedes Moné. Her heater in Camille Brickhouse, she's dead. So she's no longer a heater. They made her wrestle a match a few weeks ago and it was terrible. So they just gave up on her already. And now she's a geek. So she's already a geek.
That is the Tony Khan trademark, is that like if he gives you an opportunity and you drop the ball, he will go out of his way to make sure no one takes you seriously. It's the AR Fox paradigm.
Yeah. So the problem with it is she's booked in a heater role to just crush people, but they wanted her to work like a technically good wrestling match with Queen Aminata when that's not what her role is. Like, you shouldn't, like, it's a square peg in a round hole. Like, that's bad on the booker. You don't do that to that lady. That's not what she's good at. You play to her strength. You didn't sign her for her to go in there and, you know, slap the leg, kick out of stuff, all do all the moves. That's not what she's here for. She's a monster. But now you killed your only female monster. So congrats.
Yeah, it's stupid. This whole thing is stupid. They never should have turned Statlander. Her and Willow did a fantastic job at All Out. Like, was it All Out? It was All Out, yeah. They had such an unenviable task. I was in that crowd. Like, people were ready to, like, just go and move on with it. And those two battled their asses off. And now it feels it's all for naught because they turned Stat. Like, Statlander was, like, building as a heel. And they just turn her for reasons. I don't know.
she just shows up and she's a baby face. Just the weirdest thing.
It's it's very, very weird. Like, I don't know, man. Tony used to care about these kind of things, and it feels like he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever now. Like, I don't know, man.
Yep. Mercedes winning, by the way. Next, we got Swerve Strickland versus Bobby Lashley.
I'm in.
They had Bobby Lashley beating up Cheeseburger last night. I didn't know that guy was still wrestling.
Me neither. Dude, I'll tell you what. Cheeseburger is one of the best, like, guys have taken an ass whooping. Like, this longtime Ring of Honor fan here, no one takes an ass kicking quite like Cheeseburger. So seeing him out there, I was like, hey, all right. And he's like, that's the guy to put out there with Bobby Lashley, one of the all-time greatest, you know, job eaters of all time, you know, job eaters.
Yeah. So, I mean, Bobby can't lose in his first match, but you also don't want, you know, Swerve to lose. So what are we thinking, like schmoz here?
But you're building a feud still, right? Yeah. You've got the Hurt Syndicate. Like, you got three. I mean, they might have someone join the Hurt Syndicate. That would be my kind of guess. Throw one more guy in there. Perhaps.
I hope it's a young guy that's not like another WWE cast off. I think they need a fresh in the stable.
What if it's Leo Rush?
I don't know. I just don't know that you can depend on Leo Rush to be in like a big time act. He's great though. He really is.
So here's why I kind of like Leo Rush. Again, he is a WWE cast up, but him and Bobby Lashley had that thing before. So there is that connection there. I think if you could put him in there, he can have really good matches. But when he inevitably does the Leo Rush thing, like, at least he got something out of him.
Yeah.
Right. I'd like to see two more guys join.
You know what? I'd like to see, like, guys who don't really get an opportunity here, as opposed to them just throwing other guys that are already on TV, like, you know, like Lee Moriarty, you know what I mean? Like, guys like that, like, I don't know. I want to just see somebody get an opportunity. Because right now there's 350-year-old dudes in the that are leading it. So I'm just like, we need some new blood in this company. We need some fresh blood in this company.
I agree.
When I'm watching the intro and I'm looking at the roster, it looks like it's WWE 2019 a lot of times. So I'm just
kind of is. In a lot of ways, it very much is.
Yeah, I was even like, you know, Ricochet's on the show now, and like, so it's like a whole thing. But yeah, Bobby's probably winning, but they're gonna screw Swerve that way. Swerve doesn't look bad,
which is fine. I mean, they're building a feud. Like, this is okay, I think. You know, and Swerve's Jack a main Perry, guy. Swerve can take loss.
Yeah, he's made. Jack Perry versus Daniel Garcia. They did something. I think I missed the thing where they did something where, I want to say Jack Perry was tied up to something and Daniel was yelling at him. I don't know. It's just, like, I don't care.
I was watching. I was like, what am I watching? Like, this has got WWE crap. I mean, like, Jack Perry's done a lot of this crap lately. Like, he's pretty good in the arena. Like, he's very good at getting heat, but a lot of this stuff, I don't know. I want Daniel Garcia to be successful, but, you know.
Yeah. It's probably time to get a belt on Daniel Garcia. He just re-signed. And, you know, Jack Perry is Jack Perry. I think this is the level that Jack Perry is always going to be at, which is good for him. He's, you know, he'll probably have a job here for life. So
upper mid card.
Yeah. Next we got Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. Probably going to steal the show. Well, not probably. Absolutely going to steal the show. It's really the only feud that I care about. I just think both guys are playing the role so well. I think Kyle Fletcher's done an amazing job. He's really turned the corner as a character. He's ready for this moment. I want Kyle Fletcher to win. I think he needs to win. He needs the win. This is where I don't know. I just see so much in that kid. He's tremendous. Like when I say AEW needs new blood and any blood that aren't tainted by Stamford, Connecticut, Kyle Fletcher's the guy that I'm talking about. Like any more Kyle Fletchers.
Will Ospreay loves to put his buddies over. Yeah. Fucking lives for it. So, you know, Will's going to work so hard to make Kyle good. He's going to work so hard to put Kyle Fletcher over in this. It's going to be a great match. And Will get a win back at some point. I mean, Will Ospreay's borderline untouchable in this company right now, and he's so giving. Yeah. So this match should be like easily match of the night. Can't wait for this one.
Yeah, another banger. Konosuke Takeshita versus Ricochet. Ricochet, he's great. He's been a bit flat, which I think a lot of people might have seen coming. But he as far as like being a star, like he's Ricochet. He's very good, though. He can do all the things. I think Takeshita beats his ass, though.
Takeshita needs a big win. Ricochet's got some credibility. I think this is how you use a guy who comes from WWE. You know, you get a big pop and you beat him. You know, like I think that's kind of what you got to do with Ricochet. Yeah. You know,
you beat his ass and now go win the Ring of Honor TV title, buddy.
Mm-hmm. We'll
see you when we need you. And then, of course, the main event, which one of the more flat main events that they've had all year. John Moxley started out, this whole group started out so hot. And it's still good. Like, they're still performing everything good. I just don't think that it's got a lot of momentum right now. I think once they turn the corner and get to Darby Allin, I think we'll start seeing them have a little bit more momentum. This thing will get a little bit hotter. But right now, like, them just going with Orange Cassidy, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just not with the Orange Cassidy deal, man.
So, I get it. Orange has always been over, right? The crowd, when they had big crowds, they loved Orange Cassidy. I think that experimenting and try, you don't know what you got until you try.
Right.
Right. And I understand why they went with this. And I think Orange has done an all right job, but he just isn't the guy who can carry a company.
Yeah.
I think we know that now. Now I'm going to say this to you. You know who this should have been, who this could have been, who this could be the next time around, who would be able to carry this, who is a tremendous promo, who does have a ton of accrued love with the crowd, who's right next to Orange Cassidy.
Rocky Romero?
Oh. Mark Briscoe.
In our group chat, I pitched a while ago that they could do like a title for title, Mark Briscoe, when he was the champion, like John Moxley versus Mark Briscoe. I think Moxley versus Briscoe, like everybody in the building and everybody buying the pay-per-view knows that Briscoe is not going to win, but you want to see it anyway. I don't feel that same energy with the Orange Cassidy match.
It's because Orange got famous. Like he really got over being this guy, you know, and that's the shtick that made it work, and it had to grow. And he has done a good job growing from that. But this is just too far out of the Orange Cassidy character. Right, you try to grow a character, it just doesn't work. Like, I think we've strayed a little too far, and this character cannot be the lead of a promotion. And I said, it's okay to try and fail and build up Moxley, but I think that Briscoe's the guy they should go with next because, like, we'll talk you into a building. Mark Briscoe's a phenomenal promo on top of being a phenomenal wrestler, out connection. Moxley can have great promos with this guy, and when it comes time to have a big match, they're gonna deliver. I think, and again, it's got to be another guy that Moxley can go over. So I think the next time around, it should absolutely be Mark Briscoe and John Moxley.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a great call. I don't think there's a lot of momentum for this pay-per-view. It's a bit cold. No. The whole company's cold right now. But they did sell a lot of tickets. They did a pretty decent job. Yeah, they did. Yeah. So, by bell time, probably looking at about 10. So that's pretty good for them right now.
For sure.
Especially with kind of like a B-level pay-per-view. I don't really know what it's going to do on pay-per-view. Who knows what it's really going to do on pay-per-view? I just know, like, me personally, I'm not that interested in it. But every time I've ever said that, I end up watching the show, and it always turns out to be awesome.
They've had one bad pay-per-view, really, in like with fans. They had a couple ones during the pandemic, but everything was during the pandemic. So, I mean, like, usually AEW pay-per-views can't miss. There's enough good matches on the show that I think it'd be interesting, and I think it's an opportunity to tell some stories, right?
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity to, like, do some interesting stuff. I'd like to see Orange Cassidy get murdered at the hand of John Moxley.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the way to go. I think that's the way to go. All right. We got two more topics. We got to kind of rush through them because I have a heart out. I got 13 minutes left. Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So John Moxley, like I said, I kind of teased it. He has been very interesting, really speaking his mind on different podcasts. I got a couple quotes here. So John Moxley was talking to one, Scott, I think it's either Scott Fishman or Sam Fishman. I don't know.
Scott Fishman.
Okay. He was asked about how much of what we're seeing on TV is how he truly feels about AEW. That's a very good question. He said, it's very real. I've never been much of a putting on act kind of wrestler. Everything is always informed by where I'm at in real life outside of the ring. I do take inspiration from all comers or all corners of the universe and funnel it through. At this point, when it comes to my career and life, I just have no time for bullshit anymore. I don't have the time to beat around the bush. I'm not necessarily alone in my thoughts and feelings. My feelings and motivations are quite ubiquitous throughout AEW. I'm just the one verbalizing it and getting to move into action. And then he was talking to the New York Post, and he claims frustration, confusion among some talent is due to lack of a clear path up the card. Says he overheard someone backstage in AEW say, it's just the bottom of the card. It doesn't matter. And believes that attitude needs to go. He goes on to say, there will be a lot of stuff that won't be a part of this AEW. For example, earlier in the year, I was having a conversation or was walking around the conversation earlier in the year. And I heard backstage type person talking about interviews or pre-tapes or something. It was a situation where talents were not put in a position to succeed due to lack of preparation, framework, direction, and things like that. This individual said, well, it's bottom of the card. It doesn't matter. Can you imagine saying that? You're fucking fired. Go work at Sunglass Hut. You should be fucking pistol whipped for saying that. For one, everybody that's on top of the card was at one time on the bottom of the card. That's how it works. You climb the ladder. You see this frustration or confusion from some of these talents because there's no fucking ladder. They don't know what to do. They're just wandering in the desert. We're going to grab them and we're going to walk them. And that was from the New York Post. So I like John Moxley's attitude here.
Me too.
Now, I don't necessarily think you should pistol whip a guy for being stupid, but I get what he's saying, right? Like I've been feeling that. Like I felt for a long time that the AEW workers, the AEW wrestlers got complacent. They got lazy.
100%.
They were trying hard. They weren't out there. They're like, some of them are hustling on the indies. But for the most part, a lot of them are just like they came from the indies. They're basically no name talent. They got this gig in AEW and they just coasted. They've just been coasting for a long time, which is why Tony, like if those talents got over, those original talents that those young people that he signed, if they were working hard enough and got over, he wouldn't need to sign all these old dudes getting fired from WWE. He wouldn't 100%. Have to bring in he wouldn't have to bring in the Hurt Syndicate. He wouldn't need Adam Copeland. He wouldn't need all these guys because he's got enough talent over already. But and it's on him too. It's on him too. Just like Moxley said, there's not a clear path. Like true leaders, real leaders will remove barriers from your path, right? To get you to go up the ladder to success. That's what's missing from the company, and he just spells it out right there.
I couldn't, Mike. You beautiful man. Absolutely couldn't agree more. We talked about Private Party earlier. They've been in this company for 5 years and they're still not better. Why didn't they go to New Japan? Why aren't they doing, like, you know, saying, like, we said this for years, like the thing with AEW was they could work all these dates. You know who works all of them? Brian Cage everywhere. Brian Cage everywhere, working his ass off. But a lot of these AEWs, like you said, they got their contracts and they got happy. They're like, I'll just be happy being a mid-carder. And then a lot of them like, oh, why don't they push this guy? Why don't they push that guy? Because they're fucking lazy, most of them. That's the truth. And we don't like hearing that because we like to love all the wrestlers and cuddle with them. And they're just our friends. You're 100% right. If they got over, this wouldn't be a problem. It took Jack Perry getting, you know, beat up for him to finally go out there and try to find a character. Like this is, it's John Moxley and we don't know John Moxley, but we know people who know John Moxley. This is 100% him, and he is 100% right. I really wish Tony would take a step back because I do think he's burnt out and just let somebody else really spearhead things a little bit, but he's a control freak who's going to run things down because he can't let other people have control of things, and he's not a great leader, right? So we're stuck here. But I like Moxley saying all the right things. He's 100% correct.
Yeah, he really is. I'm just surprised that he's saying it in public, especially at a big publication like the New York Post. I don't know what Scott Fishman posted, but
no, dude, people need to be called out publicly.
They do.
This is the only way to get better, because we've tried. It's not the first time this has happened in professional wrestling history, right? When the champion is calling you out for being lazy, it's time to get better. It's time to fix up. It's time to put up or shut up.
You know what I'm not seeing this time? Because like veteran wrestlers have always said that about the younger wrestlers, and the younger wrestlers will get pissy and then they'll go on social media, and then all of the other media types and all the fans will say, oh, this is just a mean old grouchy wrestler. He doesn't understand the game anymore. I'm glad that's not happening with Moxley right now, because you know, if it were Punk, and Punk was saying some of these same things. Right. Mm-hmm. He was saying the same, like about Hangman Page and about other people not wanting to take advice, not wanting to watch matches, not wanting to do this and that. Moxley's saying it now too, just in a different, in Moxley's way. Right. And people like him, so he's not getting any blowback. But this is the same shit that Punk was saying before he left.
Well, that oftentimes it's not the message, it's the messenger.
Yeah.
Right. And as we learned, CM Punk was very much a hypocrite with a lot of the stuff he did and a lot of stuff he said. Say what you want about John Moxley, the man is as real as it comes.
Yeah.
He's not a hypocrite. So I think when Moxley is out there saying these things, I think his words carry a lot of weight. I think John Moxley, I said it on our Patreon show with Rich a couple weeks ago. I said, John Moxley is the guy CM Punk pretends to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if he says this is a problem, I think a lot of people respect him enough to know it's a problem. My fear is, I hope it's not too little too late.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. You know what? Like we said earlier in the show, you know, there are ebbs and flows. There's dips and dives. Companies run hot and cold all the time, mm-hmm. So hopefully they can get hot again. I was hoping that this Death Rider, and I like the Death Riders over BCC, by the way. I think that's a better name.
I agree.
I like the change. I was hoping that this thing could get the company hot again. It has not, but it still can if they continue to just work at it. So I'm hoping that it ends up working.
NWO didn't get hot for months. That's the truth. Look at those WCW shows. They are running it. They didn't start selling stuff until going into 97. Right? Yeah. It took time. So, got to give it some time.
All right. Final topic. I got 6 minutes left. Yep. So, Linda McMahon has been added to Donald Trump's cabinet. She is set to be the Secretary of Education. I think it's hilarious that Trump wants to get rid of that department. So he put a McMahon in charge of it. we're not gonna go political on here. However, this is relevant because just a few weeks ago, before the election, we actually covered the updated lawsuit with the Ring Boy scandal. She is named in the lawsuit as someone that covered it up and allowed it to happen. And she's actively being sued. At the same time, she's got to get confirmed by the United States Senate to be the head of the Department of Education.
You see the Matt Gaetz stuff today? It's going to be a show. I'll tell you, I'm a teacher, so my opinion on this is going to be very, very different than a lot of people's.
Yes.
I get fucking tired of people who aren't in my profession telling me how I should run my profession. I get tired of people who've never spent a single moment in a classroom as a student. I get tired of people who've never had a lesson plan. I get tired of people who've never had to deal with dumbass standards that don't make any sense telling me how I should do my job. Fuck Linda McMahon. Fuck anyone who's trying to do with the Department of Education. Fuck anybody who doesn't understand the plight of a teacher. They can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, there's a story out that she actually falsified her degree. Okay, so here it is, USA Today. This is hilarious. So Trump's education secretary nominee once said she had an education degree, but she doesn't. And when she was called out on it, she said, oh, I forgot what degree I had.
It's very McMahon. Only the best people. I don't want to make this a political podcast, but the fact that you're going to put someone who was in charge of the Small Business Administration now is the Department of Education. It's insult. I'm insulted as a teacher.
Yeah. So she wanted to get the Secretary of Commerce gig, but there's like infighting about who's going to get the Secretary of Treasury. So one guy who really wanted the Secretary of Treasury He didn't get that, so they pushed him down to Secretary of Commerce, which then pushed down Linda McMahon down to the Secretary of Education. So,
because that's where we are. We're low.
Yeah. We're low. I don't want to spend too much time. It's not a political podcast. But it is relevant to this podcast because we covered the Ring Boy scandal. I think that that scandal, look, we saw what happened with Matt Gaetz, and I don't want to really get into that, but those scandals, like senators, it's not the same thing as the House of Representatives. Like, you got some like wackos in the House of Representatives because they're coming from a lot of these small podunk districts, right? So they vote for some crazy people. Senators, for the most part, are usually well put together. And mm-hmm. so they're going to take the confirmation hearing pretty serious. Now, a lot of them are just going to, you know, toe the line no matter what. And every time the president, every time someone gets elected, it's the same thing. Their side always backs them up. But when you got somebody with a lot of dirt on them, like, even the ones on your side are probably not going to confirm them.
I don't know, man. Kevin McCarthy put the pillow over Matt Gaetz's face while he was sleeping today. So, I mean, like, I think you're going to see a lot of infighting and backstabbing. It should be entertaining as hell.
Yeah. All right, guys, I think that's going to do it for us this time on the Mike and JD Show. Sorry we don't have much time. I did have a heart out at 7:30 Hawaii Standard Time. So I gotta get out of here. I'll be back with a Brace for Impact coming up this weekend on Saturday. I watched part of Impact tonight. JD, Steve Macklin had a really interesting vignette. They put the whole thing on Twitter. It deals with PTSD and stuff like that. And he's doing a thing with Eric Young. Eric Young is kind of like getting into his head and stuff. They filmed it pretty well. It actually is filmed like 10 times. I think Dobby the Brain Heated said this in our chat. He said it's filmed like 10 times better than any Gravitas movies that's ever been filmed. They did a really good job with it. So I'm going to talk about that this coming up weekend. Also, Josh Alexander retired from the independents. I think everything's fine. That doesn't mean he's leaving TNA, right? He just, you know, retiring from the independents. No big deal. Nothing crazy. Doesn't mean he's leaving to WWE. So I'm going to talk about that this weekend. So some interesting stuff happening. Plus Speedball expected to join AEW. We'll get the updates on that. So, but yeah, that is going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. And we'll be back next week. And until next time. Mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.